to go to the hospital.
My big sister Jenna's face turned bright red. She was just showing people online how to use a new cream. She still has the scars.
My brother's friend Billy had to jump off his motor scooter when it caught fire. He fell and got hit by a car. He broke his leg, blew his chances to play basketball in college.
My BFF Chloe was riding her bike and hit a ditch. Her helmet broken too. Now, she has a brain injury.
There is a cost to buying cheap. Do you want to pay the price?
Real products are tested for safety. Protect yourself. Don't fall for fake products.
Visit ncpc.org/goforreal. Brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council and the United States Patent and Trademark Office.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR.
Partly cloudy skies overnight with a low of 62. Winds out of the northeast, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 86. Cloudy tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 60. Mid-80s, Saturday, upper 70s, Sunday, with a chance for scattered storms.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 75.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station. Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dominic, it's Thursday. I think that makes it Friday Eve up in here. How you doing, little buddy?
I am in a great mood today, Crudy. How you doing? Great to see you, Luke. Working hard on the board, our fair audience. Happy third Trump arraignment day. I mean, these arraignments, man, it's not even a big deal anymore, man. It's like the third time in how many weeks?
I don't know, what, a month? It's not even his last arraignment day, Dom. You know, he's going to have another one in Georgia imminently.
Imminently.
I hear there's a joke there somewhere.
We'll worry about it later.
So we're calling this Trump Arraignment Day 3.0. And you can always be a part of this show, Dom. You and the audience. 844-967-2789. My understanding, we got some Brewers tickets, 4 to give away for this Sunday. It's a get better series against the Pirates. They're in town against our beloved Brewers. And we got 4 tickets. Same number of charges Donald Trump went and pled not guilty to in a D.C. courtroom today, Dom.
One Brewers ticket against the Pirates on Sunday to match each count of the Trump indictment. Fantastic. I got a little news here, Crudy, on the Washington Post reporting Trump pleaded not guilty. Damn it. I thought he was going to do the code red. Just order the code red, Crudy.
GD Wright, I ordered it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That not guilty to charges. He conspired to overturn the results of the 2020 election, appearing in a federal courthouse that sits just blocks away from where his angry supporters, rioters, seditionists, stormed the Capitol building in an effort to keep him in power. God, that sounds like a really bad thing. As to counts 1 to 4, how does Mr. Trump plead? The judge asked Trump as he stood at the defense table flanked by his lawyers. Trump raised
strongly
his hand
not guilty
and said not guilty. The judge then reminded Trump that while he would be released, there are conditions with that release that must be obeyed, including that he must not violate any laws. Good luck with that. Must appear in court when required, must not communicate with anyone known to be a witness in the case unless it is through an attorney. He is the next subject to appear on August 28th at 10 a.m. before U.S. District Judge Tanya Chutkan.
Now, my understanding is Donald Trump was threatening Special Counselor Jack Smith's wife, you know, earlier today. if this federal judge means business, and any other defendant, right, would already be remanded over. If they were considered a threat to witnesses, they wouldn't be out walking the streets. If you threaten the prosecutor's wife, how would that look for just a plain old fella, Joe Sixpack Tom? Would he be, you know, limousining off from his arraignment, his four not guilty pleas?
Not a direct threat per se. You have to infer the threat, Crudy. You have to infer the threat. What do you say? Something I got this here, the Raw story, Trump, Jack Smith. Jack Smith's wife is a Biden daughter and produced a fawning Michelle Obama documentary. Well, that's what Liz Harrington said. What else did he say? Here's what Trump said. In a section of the statement, he went on to smear Smith for being a dirty, politically motivated investigation. He had put some news articles intended to undermine this special prosecutor. One section of the statement was titled Jack Smith's wife, Katie Shavinji, is a Biden donor. She produced a documentary about Michelle Obama. She has worked as an anti-Citizens United film titled Dark Money. Oh, apparently she's against Citizens United? That makes her a bad person in Trump's view.
He's
yes,
pro.
The former president of the United States throwing out the name, first and last name of the prosecutor. Yeah, you could imply some threat there without a doubt.
Well, Dominic, let's look a little closer to home. There are some headlines. There was what Jim Santel, former U.S. attorney, hosted the Morning Cannolis, our fine guest yesterday. What'd he tell us? There was a Wisconsin page in the 45-page indictment.
Page
Donald
20,
Trump.
Baby.
And here's the headline. Molly back over at the Journal Sentinel. Here are the ways that Ron Johnson, others with Wisconsin ties, appear in the Trump January 6th indictment. Well, Ron, you got a little famouser. You made it into Trump's indictment. Dominic, the plot alleged by federal investigators to ignore the results of the 2020 presidential election and keep Donald Trump in power hinged on slates of Republicans in battleground states like Wisconsin, claiming to be electors for Trump. But the indictment of Trump also includes a cast of other characters, unsavory characters, I'd say, Dom, with Wisconsin ties, involved in the events leading up to the January 6, 2021 attack at the U.S. Capitol. And among them are Wisconsin senior U.S. Senator, a former Dane County judge, and an attorney who flew to Wisconsin just last year in an attempt to persuade Assembly Speaker Robin Voss to overturn the results of the 2020 election. Again, that was in 2022 that John Eastman came. So, Dom, here's a list of people who appear in Trump's indictment with Wisconsin ties. Hometown boys like Osh Vegas' own and former friend of the devil's advocates, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. Now, Dom, paragraph 101 of the indictment outlines U.S. Ron Johnson's involvement in a failed attempt to hand slates of false electors to the Vice President Mike Pence on January 6th, about 20 minutes before a joint session of Congress was set to convene, you know, to certify the Biden victory that day. Johnson's chief of staff, Sean Riley, told a staffer for Pence that Johnson wanted to hand deliver to Pence votes from Republicans in Wisconsin and Michigan who posed as fake presidential electors for Trump. Want to hand deliver them. Let me be the vessel of malfeasance.
In simpler terms, you know, my recollection, you call someone doing something like that the bag man, just for the record.
Well, I'll just finish the quote here. Johnson needs to hand something to Vice President. Please advise, Riley texted Penn staffer Chris Hodgkin at 12:37 p.m. that day. According to evidence presented Tuesday by the House Select Committee investigating the attack on the U.S. Capitol. What is it? Hodgson, a former legislative affairs director for Pence, replied. Why? It's an alternative slate of electors for Michigan and Wisconsin because the archivist didn't receive them, Riley wrote back. Hodgson told Riley, do not give that to him.
Gruddy, a quote. On the morning of January 6th, an agent of the defendant, Trump, contacted a United States senator to ask him to hand deliver documents to the vice president. The agent then facilitated the receipt by the senator's staff of the fraudulent certificates signed by the defendant's fraudulent electors in Michigan and Wisconsin, which were believed not to have been delivered to the vice president or archivist by mail, the indictment reads, noting that Pence's staffer rejected the documents. Johnson has downplayed the exchange as a staff-to-staff conversation and has said his involvement lasted just seconds. My involvement in that attempt to deliver spanned the course of a couple seconds, he told WISN-TV's Matt Smith in August of 22. I think I fielded three texts and sent to and talked to my chief of staff that somebody wants you to deliver something. Deliver something. I don't know what it is. It sounds like Trump waving around the Iran attack plans when he was asked about it. That wasn't paper. There were lots of papers and clippings and things. And you know, it's a circular blah, blah, blah. Back to Molly Beck's reporting. Johnson initially claimed to be basically unaware. Basically unaware. You could just have that on your license plate, sir. Of an effort by his staff to get the fake presidential elector documents to Pence, and later said he coordinated with Jim Troupas, a former Dane County judge and Trump campaign attorney, to pass along such information, and alleged a Pennsylvania congressman brought the slates of fake electors to his office, a claim that was immediately disputed. There's a lot of unanswered questions, I think, still here, Crudy. Johnson also initially told reporters he did not know where the documents came from and that his staff sought to forward it to Pence.
Do you know what Mrs. Johnson's nickname is for the senator? She calls him Speedy.
Pretty. John Eastman also mentioned here. Co-conspirator number two in the indictment is John Eastman, attorney who designed the strategy to leverage a vice presidential ceremonial role overseeing the certification proceeding to obstruct the certification of the presidential election, according to the indictment. Eastman also traveled to Wisconsin in 2022 to meet with Assembly Speaker Robin Voss in an ultimately unsuccessful attempt to persuade Voss to take action to overturn the 2020 result, which was impossible and illegal.
But consider the fact that Robin Voss still took that meeting. You know what I mean? If somebody came to pitch me on the concept of overturning a presidential election from 2 years ago, something that you've been legally advised a couple of times subsequently, might be illegal, might be impossible.
But you still take the meeting. Jefferson Davis, a former village president of Menominee Falls who launched an effort to persuade lawmakers to undo the 2020 election, said this during a March 22 meeting at the state capitol with Eastman. This man tried to save our country single-handedly on January 5th and 6th when he advised the administration, who was still the president of the United States, that they didn't have to do what happened on January 6th. Eastman was key to a movement in Wisconsin to decertify the election, support for which has waned since. Really? In December 21, Eastman wrote an 8-page memo for former state rep Tim Ramjam.
Oh, your guy!
Who ran for governor on the platform of decertification. The memo concluded the election results could be considered void if voting laws were broken. A number of conservative attorneys and a host of legal scholars reached the opposite conclusion, saying there's no way to reverse an election that had been held a year and a half prior.
But, Tom, that didn't stop more than three dozen county Republican Party chapters in Wisconsin from passing resolutions calling for the decertification of the 2020 election.
Wow.
Hey, folks, it's Arraignment Day 3.0 for Donald Trump. Arraignment Day 4.0, I hear it might be imminent.
Imminent.
We'll be right back. Come back with us.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
A I would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for those meddling devil's advocates.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Your call is always welcome here at 844-967-2789, or just download the Civic Media app and click on the call button or the text button. It's really simple that way. Crudy, going over the Molly Beck article at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Here are the ways Ron Johnson and others with Wisconsin ties appear in the January 6th indictment. We already talked about the senior senator from Wisconsin, Ron Johnson, and we also spoke about John Eastman. I'll take the next one, Crudy. Kenneth Chesbro.
Don't be a cheese bro.
Come on, cheese bro. The man listed as conspirator, co-conspirator 5, is an attorney who described himself as a Wisconsin native on his LinkedIn page.
We don't want him.
And accused of assisting in devising and attempting to implement a plan to submit fraudulent slates of presidential electors to obstruct the certification proceeding. Ooh, you're an attorney, cheese bro. You should have known better. He sent a memo. All these guys writing memos. He sent a memo on November 18th in 2020 to Troopis, who we'll talk about next, the Wisconsin attorney hired by Trump's campaign to oversee recounts in the state. In that memo, he drafted a plan to establish Republican electors in Wisconsin and other states contested by the Trump campaign. Cheese Bro told Troopis on January 6th of 21 that the real deadline to resolve the Wisconsin presidential contest was January 6th, not December 8th, the safe harbor deadline under the Electoral Count Act that Wisconsin missed, or the December 14th date when electors met in the Wisconsin state capitol to confirm Joe Biden's victory. Quote, assuming the electors pledged to Trump and Pence end up meeting at the Wisconsin capitol on December 14th to cast their votes and then send their votes to the president of the Senate in time to be open on January 6th, a court decision, or perhaps a state legislative determination rendered after December 14th in favor of the Trump-Pence slate of electors should be considered timely, Cheesebro wrote. And apparently that kind of action is what? Implementing a plan to submit fraudulent slates of presidential electors to obstruct the certification proceeding. Obstruction. How very Trumpian of you, Cheesebro.
Don't be a Cheesebro. Dom, I have mentioned often on this program, if there's one malfeasant Republican legal name you should know, it's Jim Troopis. We should all
Who's
know.
Who's Jim Troopis?
Yeah, who is Jim Troopis? Well, he looks a little like Lord Palpatine from the Star Wars movies. Not a handsome man, not to my opinion.
But that's like pre-Sith burning.
Could go either way.
Come on, man.
Tom, while not explicitly discussed in the indictment, although here on the Devil's Advocates, he's been explicitly discussed many times, the former Dane County judge and Trump campaign attorney, talking about the Troopis, was one of the first to receive the memo from Cheesebro that outlined the fake elector strategy that is central to the indictment. The memo to Troopis came from Cheesebro with the subject line, the real deadline for settling a state's electoral vote. It outlined Cheesebro's legal analysis backing up his suggestion during a conference call with Troopis that in any judicial review of the canvassing recounting in Wisconsin, we should emphasize that the presidential election timetable affords ample time for judicial proceedings, even if initial errors in the recount require a remand for further recounting. Troopis received the memo the same day he filed paperwork on behalf of the Trump campaign to begin ballot recounts in the liberal-leaning and populist Dane and Milwaukee counties. And you know who handled the recount in Milwaukee County, Dom? Why, it was Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel and host of the Maggie Dawn Show, our own hero, Maggie Dawn.
We love Maggie Dawn.
Some of the greatest work in this state to protect democracy was done by Maggie right. Dawn. You don't even know, folks. You don't know the half of it, because Troopis, on behalf of Trump, was trying to throw out 200,000 ballots. The memo to Troopis was used by Trump attorney Rudy Giuliani, who's named as co-conspirator number one in the indictment.
Number one, baby.
And others to develop a strategy to exploit ambiguities in the Electoral Count Act. And during the recounts of Dane and Milwaukee County, Troopis sought to throw out tens of thousands of absentee ballots that were cast in person, an argument that included tossing his own ballot and his wife's.
Troopis, I will martyr myself for the cause.
And certainly my wife, Troupas, and his wife voted early using the state's in-person absentee option. One of the group of voters whose ballots the Trump campaign unsuccessfully asked election officials to deem illegal. I voted illegally. Please throw up my ballot along with like 200,000 others. Now, Dominic Troupas